Welcome on in. It is a great Thursday. Man, you can feel fall in the air. Temperatures are nice in the valley, and we start the football weekend tonight with Thursday night games on the high school level. Of course, tomorrow night, Arizona State plays a Friday night game. I'm not big on that. I'll talk more about that later. And there's high school games tomorrow night. Saturday night, you have NAU, U of A, and Tucson. I'll be at that game. And then Sunday, the Cardinals go to Chicago to play the Bears, a Sunday morning game. So this is what it's all about. You know, you can't get much better than this. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. Thanks for jumping on board. Brad Sussmat with you. We have Jake Plummer coming up on the show today. Jake, at about 10:20, will be joining us. We'll talk with Jake about the start of the Pac-12 season, Pac-12 conference play with USC and Stanford. And also, I want to get his view, because I've gotten a lot of feedback from you about Mike Norvell being moved upstairs and the departure of Bo Graham, and if that's a reason why the Sun Devil offense has not clicked through the first couple of weeks. Is Jake concerned? Has Jake talked to Mike Bercovici about, you know, his struggles and hanging in there? So I'll have Jake Plummer on. At 10:35, Lance Briggs, former U of A Wildcat, great player with the Chicago Bears, just announced his retirement. But I don't know if he signed his papers, so I have to find out from Lance if that's something that he's going to do. The 7-time Pro Bowl linebacker of the Bears, he's doing analyst work in Chicago. What does he see out of the Bears so far under new coach John Fox and Matt Forte? How good was he? And I want to find out, too, if there's anything on the front of Will Sutton and Kadeem Carey, a couple of former in-state kids. So we'll talk with Lance Briggs about that. I saw the story yesterday where Bruce Arians was on a conference call with the Chicago reporters, and they asked Bruce about not getting the Chicago Bears job. You know, the Bears interviewed him back in January of 2013. If we were to recall the Bruce Arians coaching search with the Cardinals, Mike McCoy, who left the Broncos, was the first guy that was really the hot candidate here in Arizona. And he, of course, went over and took the Chargers job. Bruce Arians was not the first guy that came through. Bruce Arians was not even the second guy. Bruce Arians was one that I was sitting here pounding my fist. I remember we had Peter King on. I said, Peter, what is the deal on Bruce Arians? Why is it Bruce Arians isn't being snatched up? And now you look at the hiring of that year, and the Bears decided to go with Mark Trestman, who was just a disaster, finished 13-19 in 2 years. They fired their general manager. They didn't get it right. And obviously the Cardinals hit it dead on right. When you hire coaches and you miss, it's kind of like drafting quarterbacks in the first round and you miss. It sets your organization back years and years and years. And fortunately for the Cardinals, they were able to find a way to get the right guy here. So I was talking with Peter King yesterday about this, this whole thing on Bruce. If you don't think that there isn't a little bit of let's stick it to a organization that didn't hire me in Bruce Arians, then you're just kidding yourself. Anybody that has an ounce of competitiveness that goes in and interviews, his quote yesterday was, he was asked about if he was surprised the Bears did not hire him in January of 2013. Quote, yeah, I was surprised, Arians said on a conference call with Bears Chicago media members. Quote Bruce Arians, I thought when I left, I said, I don't think anything could have gone any better throughout the whole day. And I didn't look back thinking I did anything wrong in any way. It was just their decision. Well, so I think the Bears got it right now in John Fox. Problem is, for them, if you're a Bears fan, there's a lot of you here in Arizona. You've been set back. I think it's fortunate for the Cardinals are playing the Bears early in the season. Why is that? Because I think Chicago's going to get better and better. May not be the case with Jay Cutler at quarterback. It may not be the case with some of their defensive shortcomings, some of their missed draft picks. But I think that we saw out of Matt Forte last week that he's going to be a load for the Cardinals to handle for sure in Sunday's game. And I'd rather see them try to find themselves now. That's typically how it works when a coach comes in, is they're not good at all the first week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks. And then somewhere along the way, if the coach is any good and the team really believes in him and they've got some sort of talent base, they start to figure it out and get it turned around. I think the Bears are that team. So we'll talk with Lance Briggs about Chicago and just how good are concerns that the Bears have early on the season. We'll talk with Lance here in a few minutes. I mean, to me, the Cardinals should win this game. To me, we should be sitting here on Monday morning talking about how the Chicago Bears lost to the Cardinals and that the Cardinals are now 2-0 getting ready for the 49ers. That's just me. And we've talked about matchups. We've talked about it here. We've talked about it on the TV show. We've talked about it in a number of different ways with guests. This really isn't brain surgery when you go right through it, when you match up this game and see what it looks like. On the front of the college scene, so I'm not really that caught up in ASU New Mexico tomorrow night. I don't like, and understand this, I don't like it when colleges try to impose on high schools or when NFL tries to impose on college. I don't like it. I think you can become heavy-handed and trying to be the 10,000-pound gorilla by sticking your games on opposite. Thursday nights were a night where colleges found great ratings, great success. Instead tonight, yeah, it's fine. Kansas City's going to play Denver, but it takes away from college and it takes away from high school. Friday nights are meant to be out at a high school stadium somewhere around this state or wherever it is that you are. I'll talk to guys that are big football fans. I'll say, do you ever go to your high school game? You know, I haven't been in so long. Yeah, I really should go. And then they'll go and they'll say, well, that was so cool. I didn't know that there was this kid that one day is going to be playing in college somewhere. One day he'll make it to the NFL. And it doesn't matter where you are, there are those kids around you. We did a story on a kid at Safford last week that people couldn't get enough of. There's a kid from Safford at Apache Junction, no less. And Eric went out there and did a great piece on him. So on the surface, I'm not big on ASU playing New Mexico, and it's a TV-driven deal. Saturday, I'm looking at more of the national scope. The game that really interests me is USC and Stanford because I really believe that USC is not as good as they're being advertised. They've played two Sun Belt teams at this point, and they have USC comes over here next week. Do we know a start time yet on that game? Have we heard anything?
It's going to be one of three choices. You ready? Okay, here we go.
One of three.
You're not going to see me, but you can hear me.
Yeah.
5:22, 5:42, 7:22.
Okay.
5:22, 5:42, 7:22.
My head's going to explode. My head's just going to explode here. So 5:22, 5:42, 5:42,
7:22.
So 5:22 would be a Fox National.
Yes. Yes.
5:42 would be a...
maybe like an ESPN2 game?
ESPN2 or ESPNU or...
and then
no, it would never be. USC, ASU can't be ESPNU.
And then it could be the late game on ESPN, the 7:22 start.
So it's not going to be the Pac-12 network.
Which is great if you're on the East Coast. That's 10:22.
Yeah, no, that's a great game. It's a great game. I talked to someone at ASU this morning about this, and they're trying to explain the windows and all that. So they have what they call a six-day advance window where they can tell you the time of the game. So they can only use this, though, once or twice. There's like a limited amount of times they can hold everybody hostage to know what time the game starts. Yeah, I've moved on from New Mexico. I get it. And there are those of you that are concerned about that. The following week, too, is U of A and UCLA. I haven't decided yet which game is more interesting to me because I don't believe U of A's been thoroughly tested yet. They had their way with Nevada. Nevada was able to do some things against them. And Scooby Wright being lost to UTSA or Nevada is one thing. Scooby Wright not on the field against UCLA is a completely different story. So the television show tonight, Fox Sports Arizona. It's we have Jake, we have Lance Briggs, and we have Jerome Sowers from NAU that is going to be joining us via Skype. That's on the television show tonight. Next, speaking of Jake Plummer, we'll talk with him. All things around the Pac-12, ASU, and much more. That's next. I'm Brad Sussmat. With Pac-12 Network analyst, former Arizona State Sun Devil star quarterback Jake Plummer joins us here on the show. Okay, so Pac-12 South play starts for real. We'll get into the Sun Devils and the Wildcats in a minute. USC, Stanford. What have you been able to make out of SC so far, Jake? They played a couple Sun Belt schools, won convincingly, a lot of off-the-field distractions around their coach. SC, Stanford, size it up for Saturday night.
Well, I think it has a lot of good storylines. Obviously, Stanford's struggling in the first week, losing to Northwestern, and then bouncing back and kind of showing us, hey, we showing everybody we got some speed. We got some guys that can stretch the field, and I think it's going to be fun to see what's Sweet Feet, Love, the new little running back. I want to see what he can do sized up against the Trojans. And so it's going to be an interesting game. I think that USC finally is going to get tested. I mean, it's been like 7-on-7 for Cody Kessler. He's only thrown, I think, 12 incompletions in two games. So, he's throwing the ball at a real nice clip. But, the storyline is there also. We've talked about it all year, about him having great success against lesser opponents. And he gets into the big games, not quite performing up to what everyone expects. So there's a lot of interesting things that could happen. I think Stanford is confident and brushing off everybody, saying they're, out of it and not tough enough or physical anymore or able to do it. I didn't get putting the ball in Hogan's hands. He's a fourth-year starter. Say, hey, take us there. You're the guy. We have to roll with him. You have to give him the ability to make those plays, to make the throws down the field. And if he makes mistakes, then you got to, as a team, back him up and try to pull out a win. So I think it's going to be a great game. I think Stanford's defense is still really strong. USC obviously is confident and they're fast, but Stanford's got the edge right now, I think, because in this last few years they pulled out some real good victories against them.
Talking with Jake Plummer, Jared Goff at Cal, Heisman Trophy hopeful. They play at Texas. Cal's not gotten a whole lot of attention. Is this their coming out party?
Maybe if Texas was a little stronger opponent, it could be, but I think anytime you play Texas, obviously they carry the allure and the tradition and all of their history, and so it's a stage to be on where more than just the West Coast will be watching Jared Goff now, which is nice because the people that watch Texas across the U.S. are going to get to see one of the real young guns and the gunslinger in the Pac-12 that really, I think, has the most suitable skill set for the next level. I think he's shown from early on in his career he's putting on a little weight and getting stronger, and obviously showing everybody that he can throw it all over the place, and he's tough and a competitor. And I think it'll be fun to see what happens against Texas, because whether they're ranked or not, it's still a Texas program that picks from the cream of the crop. So you're playing against a lot of really good players, and it's a good measuring stick for Cal.
So I sat in the stands the other night watching ASU struggle with Cal Poly. Okay.
Yeah.
We're two games into this. They have New Mexico tomorrow night, a Friday night matchup. What do you make out of Arizona State now, 2 weeks in? Are you concerned?
Not really. I hope that, I hope Todd Graham, puts some earplugs in those kids' ears. I think that hearing how good they could be and hearing that they could be in the college playoffs. I mean, we saw the same thing, a similar thing happened to UCLA last year. Mm-hmm. Everybody talked about how great they were going to be. But that's a really awful statement for a 19-year-old kid with confidence, or a 20-year-old kid thinking that they are pretty good, to hear. And I think that possibly, the team, had a confidence, but let that kind of talk get to their heads a little bit. You have a Cal Poly team coming in, and you think, all right, we got a little opponent coming in. We can take care of these guys. Well, you got to remember, Cal Poly thinking we get a chance to play what everyone's talking about, a college football playoff candidate here.
Right.
Let's see where we stand, So Cal Poly came in ready to go 12 rounds, and ASU came in ready to, go 3 rounds and knock them out. But that happens sometimes, and I think to have them pull that victory out and to make the plays when they had to, Berkovici makes a great throw to Cody Cole in the end zone, and you get the young receiver, Tim White, I think it is, that got into the mix a little bit. Yeah. That's huge, for a team that obviously now everybody's like not counting them into the playoffs. They're doubting their abilities. Now you can get back together as a team, put the earplugs on, forget about any outside noise or anything that anybody says about your team from here on out. It's about trusting your teammates and the leaders stepping up. No longer can you come out flat. It's got to be, hey, we got to come out here, set the tone early, get it done fast, and get off, starters, DJ, Berkovici, get off the field, let the scrubs go in there and play the third, last part of the third and the fourth. So I'd like to see them come out and just no doubt put it on New Mexico.
Okay, so there is a concern from many fans expressed to me. Bo Graham no longer on the coaching staff a couple weeks before the season starts. They moved Mike Norvell off the sideline up into the booth last week. Is this something that concerns you?
No, if I was a player and there, you were inside the whole moves and what was going on and there was concern or something happening, maybe. But from an outside perspective, that's just a coach doing something to try to you know, fire the guys up or give Norvell a better view up there or get him off the sideline where there's a lot of stuff happening. You know, that's you can read into all that stuff way too much. I think that all in all, like I said, it's just a matter of them gaining their confidence back and knowing, hey, we got one more little game here before it gets real, and we got to get down to business and make sure that we come out here and leave no doubt and not try so hard, but just trust in your instincts. And, you know, whatever internal things are happening there, I don't think we really get a whole, as a fan or any of us, get a real perspective of it unless you're in those meeting rooms and in that practice right there and know what's going on. But everybody outside is, you know, casting doubt, and that's sometimes when a team can bond together and get stronger. So we'll hopefully, like I said, the leaders will step up and they'll go out and play a lot more aggressively and play their style of game.
Have you talked to Berkovici here in the last week or so?
No, I haven't. I obviously this, you know, send him a text saying good job and, you know, keep your head on your shoulder, keep your head up from the first week when he didn't have much time back there, but haven't this week. But, I, you know, he knows I'm watching and paying attention. I think he's doing a great job. He's just got to get those guys to everybody focus on what they're doing and stop worrying about everybody else. You can't drop the ball, can't get, you know, penalties. You got to be good in the red zone and all that stuff. But if you do mess up, then bond together as a team and step up. Who's going to step up and help? Who's going to make that play? You know, like Terry Battle did at Oregon State my senior year, you know, taking the opening kickoff in the second half for a touchdown. It broke that game open. We were struggling against the Beavers. So it's just, who's going to make that play? Who's going to step up and say, enough of this, let's make this thing change?
Jake, good stuff as always. Thanks for the visit.
Hey, thank you, Brad. Take it easy, man.
Jake Plummer with us for a few minutes. We didn't talk about the UCLA-BYU game. I didn't want to cram too much down Jake's throat, but that's the other game that's of interest. The quarterback at BYU was on his mission 2 months ago, 3 months ago, and he's thrown two Hail Mary touchdown passes. So if you're Arizona State, this is a weekend where you've got to get things ironed out. At the same time, you'll get your first look at USC playing very good competition. You'll get a chance to see UCLA playing very good competition, and you'll get a better read of what's going on in the Pac-12 South. This is the first huge weekend. I said off the top of the show, it feels like fall because the temperatures have dropped, but also it's not Labor Day weekend. It's not, there's just a couple games here or there, and there's not a bunch of cream puffs that are on the schedule. And I think on the ASU end, it's getting things straightened out. You've got to get things put together and have some momentum, because if you sit here against New Mexico and their triple option and your defense is struggling and your offense is not clicking, you're going to have another week of doubt. And the boos that were raining down the other night, I'm not thinking there's going to be much of a crowd tomorrow night. It's no offense to ASU. If TV's dictating, you got to play on a Friday night. But I would be surprised if there's more than 50,000 fans that are there. Very surprised, maybe even 40,000. It's New Mexico on a Friday. So you've got to build some confidence and build some momentum and clean things up before you have USC next week and UCLA the week after that. Because if you don't, we could be sitting here by the second Monday, in October saying, well, that season blows, and they're out of the mix if you're a Sun Devil fan. If you're a U of A fan, I think you've built week by week and gotten a little bit better. The Scooby Wright injury, no question, was a setback. We'll talk more about U of A on the other side with Lance Briggs. Lance Briggs, the former Chicago Bear, we'll talk with him, too, about what John Fox has got going on with the Bears. We'll have that and much more as we continue on. Sports360AZ.com, that's our website. If you have just find us for the first time, lots of people coming on in through the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. We appreciate the partnership with them. Also 12news.com taking some of our content. And of course, our television show on FoxSportsArizona.com, or Fox Sports Arizona, just on television. Got a lot of places we were at. How's that for an answer? Tonight we'll have Jake Plummer, we'll have Lance Briggs, and we'll have Jerome Sowers on the television show. That'll be tonight, and looking forward to that. Back with Lance Briggs after this timeout. All right, welcome back. So the Pro Football Hall of Fame nominees came out, and it's not a surprise that Brett Favre is a part of this for the class of 2016. They announced it late last night. We do some work with Talk of Fame Network. You've seen them on here, Clark Judge and Rick Gosling and Ron Borges. They're three of the Hall of Fame voters in the NFL. They had Brett on for, gosh, it was like an hour, And if you've not checked out their content, it's terrific. It's over at talkoffame.com. But for Brett Favre to go in, that's for sure. I'm going to tie this into Kurt Warner in a minute, because if you look at the other guys that are on the list this year, you can't take everybody. And Favre, you know he's going to get in. Terrell Owens is on this list. Alan Faneca is on this list. And Alan Faneca played with the Arizona Cardinals. And Alan Faneca, six-time All-Pro Bowl guard and one of the elite blockers of the game, I think he's got to be in. There's an interesting name, though, that I think is going to hurt Kurt's chances in all this, and that's Ken Stabler. So the seniors committee, the way it works in the Hall of Fame, they have a senior committee that every year nominates certain individuals. And Ken Stabler passing away, there's a real outcry the week of the Hall of Fame that Ken Stabler should be somebody that is honored, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. So he's already been nominated by the senior committee. And then there's what they call the contributor candidate. And this year, it's former 49er owner Eddie DeBartolo Jr. So Joe Montana has gone out and has started lobbying for DeBartolo Jr. to make it into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And you do the numbers here. I mean, some of the other first-time guys, Lawyer Malloy, good player. I don't know. Is he a first ballot Hall of Famer? No. Brian Westbrook, good player. I don't think he's a first ballot Hall of Famer. Clinton Portis, no. John Carney is a good friend, but he's just a kicker. I mean, the kickers that make it, there's a few of them. Keith Bullock and Mike Vrabel, I don't see those as guys that you look at and say they have to make it into the Hall of Fame. And there's been a real cry here locally about where's Kurt Warner's chance? When's Kurt Warner going to go in? And maybe he's got to do a little bit more now, because if you just go through the numbers, Favre's going to make it. Faneca, I think, is going to make it, and having talked to some guys, I think Stabler's going to make it.
Stabler's got to make it, doesn't he?
Stabler's got to make it.
Of course. It's interesting because, like, the names that you listed at the back, the Brian Westbrooks and the Clinton Portis,
those are guys.
Good players.
Guys.
But not great players. Right. Not, they were elite for maybe a year or two or three, but they weren't elite throughout their career. They weren't Hall of Fame caliber players.
Yeah. So, I mean, I look at that, and you can parse out Hall of Fame stuff 100 different ways. If you're a huge fan of the Denver Broncos or the 49ers, you're going to have just complete rose-colored glasses on and say, well, Clinton Portis, oh my gosh, he was the greatest player ever. No. You have to be selective. T.O., so was T.O. a Hall of Fame player or was he a Hall of Fame performer? There's a real difference there. A Hall of Fame performer, he went out and he was in the spotlight and he was in places that brought the attention to him. But was he a Hall of Fame receiver? In my opinion, he was. But that's just mine.
I agree.
I'm still a guy that Anquan Boldin, when he retires, is a Hall of Fame receiver.
I agree with that too.
But there, but I'll tell you, it's interesting, Eric. Clark does not on Anquan. We've chatted about this one and actually been a little bit more than chatty about it. So I feel like when this goes to a vote, and those three guys that I mentioned, and they're with us often, they're three of the 40 that are in the room. And all three of them carry a considerable amount of weight, especially Rick Gosling. And they can make that decision happen. I thought it was interesting talking with Lance Briggs about the Bears on the Forte front for the Cardinals matchup. But also, he didn't give a Jay Cutler one way or the other. You have to feel as though everybody around Jay Cutler is just kind of holding their breath, saying, when can we move on from this? When can we exhale from this? When can we find that next quarterback? It's kind of like tonight.
Holding their breath before they're holding their nose, most likely.
Well, you're right. You're right about that. But it's like tonight. Tonight's the NFL has the Chiefs and Broncos tonight. And Peyton Manning didn't look good at all. And is he becoming the Steve Nash that we were used to seeing at the end with the Suns, where it was just hard to watch?
Interesting. Interesting analogy.
It was just hard.
That's good. It could be. I mean, your boy Fabiano said last six games, Peyton Manning, not good.
Peyton Manning's not even good.
Not even average. Not good.
No. So, you know, you don't want to throw dirt on somebody when they're at the end of their career, but I think it's very fair to point out that when Peyton Manning was going through the end of last season, you could start to see that it was becoming harder and harder. And he's one of these guys that the Manning boys will never be ones that step to a podium and say, I was this and I was that. I saw where they had Eli in a dunce cap on Monday morning on the New York Daily News, and that you got to know that drives the Mannings crazy. But if Peyton struggles tonight against Kansas City, and I thought the Chiefs looked pretty good in their opener last week against Houston, but tonight will be interesting to watch that. On the baseball side, so we had Pedro on yesterday about the Diamondbacks and a really good story that Eric put together that had some thoughts from Pedro on the Diamondbacks moving forward into this offseason. And they're still getting good TV ratings over on Fox Sports Arizona. They're still a factor here in the marketplace, even though that they're out of the race. They lost last night 4-3 to the Padres. Matt Kemp hit a 3-run home run. But I think beyond that, as we come into the final couple weeks of the season, it's the respect level for Chip Hale has grown throughout this season. I think the respect level for the Diamondbacks, they were considered a joke. They were. The last few years, they were considered a joke. And so they've turned around. I'm going to come up short on my 84-win prediction. It's fine. People still hammer away on that. It's fine. I can handle it. I'm a big boy. But do they finish strong, and do they give some glimmer of hope that they can get this thing pushed over the top? Because they made huge progress this year. I think their season ticket renewals will be a very big indicator as to where they are. They feel good that they're going to do well on that front. The business model's working here in Arizona. I don't necessarily agree that the stadium's too big, as some have brought up, but that's on my mind today. The Dodgers and Rockies played the other night, and I couldn't get this in yesterday's show, but it's such an anomaly in sports. And I think it's one of these really cool stories. Well, I'm always about what's a cool story. It doesn't matter if it's a junior golfer, if it's a high school basketball kid. I like putting together notes and stories of things that are going on around the sports scene that are just a little different, a little quirky, different, and that we may never see again. So the other night, the Dodgers and Rockies played. The game didn't end until yesterday morning. Okay, so it's one of those one extra innings. That's not a big deal. What's a big deal was the two teams used 58 players. 58! They had 24 pitchers. 5-4 Colorado win in 16 innings. There has never been a major league game that had more than 54 players or 21 pitchers. Now you're thinking to yourself, well, how does this work? The rosters are expanded in September. So they had 40 players. They can have a maximum of up to 40 players on the roster for the final month. They expand from 25 the first 5 months to 40 in the final month. So if we're just looking at this historically, that may never happen again. And 58 guys, they must have had a conga line going from the bullpen up to the mound and the manager going back and forth.
Did you happen to see what Ryan Spilborst did last night? You probably don't know who that is. He used to play for the Rockies. He's now like the Jody Jackson of the Rockies, where he kind of hangs out outside the dugout. So a foul ball came into his little, camera well.
Yeah.
Within 5 seconds, a lady carrying a tray of cupcakes approached him and asked him, "I will trade you one of these cupcakes for the foul ball." And of course, he takes the foul ball, gives it to the lady. She's ecstatic. And then he sits on camera and just eats this chocolate cupcake.
Of course.
Yeah.
It's baseball. But you're also with the Rockies and your team's no good.
Yeah, I'd be eating cupcakes
done.
Every night.
Of course you're going to do that.
I work for the Rockies Network. So
the other story, and that's a good one, but the other story caught my eye. Did you see where J.J. Watt, I'm getting fatigued with J.J. Watt. J.J. Watt decided to go public that forget about him being a very good defensive player. Forget about Hard Knocks just being an infomercial on J.J. Watt. J.J. Watt's got people advising him now that you should be more active on social media. So he's gone out and said he can't find a girlfriend. Well, of course, this has become the biggest story in Houston.
Yeah.
The news stations there are going out and sending reporters and doing the submissions online and getting hundreds of thousands of ladies that want to be J.J. Watt's next thing. I simply bring this up because, the on-the-field stuff is what's of interest to me. But the off-the-field stuff has just taken over in this world of social media. So a guy like him is getting close to being overexposed, where you're just like, okay, I'm done. I don't care.
He's really likable, though. It's hard not to like
J.J. I know he's likable, and he's good.
Yeah, very good.
You know, he's
elite.
There's nothing worse than guys doing all this pub, and they can't play dead. That drives me crazy.
We've seen that quite a few
times. We've seen that quite a bit. Like, that dude is endorsing this, and that dude is in this show, It's kind of like Lamar Odom and the Kardashians. Done. Don't care. And he couldn't play at the end. Dennis Rodman, I'm fine with because he could still play. I have no problem. Ron Artest could still play. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona. I got a little rant today. I can do that. The X's and O's. This isn't brain surgery. It's sports. We partner with the Arizona Republic AZ Central Sports. Television show tonight on Fox Sports Arizona. We'll have Jake Plummer, we'll have Lance Briggs, and we'll have Jerome Sowers Skyping in from Flagstaff for NAU against U of A. I'm Brad Sussmat.